Well, tonight we want to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 12. I know vegetables have a purpose. It's to help you appreciate all the good stuff, I guess. Amen. Isaiah chapter 12, if you would stand with me. And let's read here verses 4 and 5. It says, "And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted.
Amen.
Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things.
Amen.
This is known in all the earth." Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful to have the Word of God.
Amen.
Grateful for when it reproves us, for when it rebukes us, when it instructs us, when it exhorts us, when it comforts us. And God, I pray that the Word of God would do all those things tonight if that's what we need. We know that all the Word of God is profitable for us. And while it all may not be written specifically to us, there is benefits in studying every page, every paragraph, every Word of the Bible. And so God help as we try to look at a principle that's found here.
Amen.
In these verses tonight. May the Spirit of God use it in our lives to cause us not to be ashamed nor to be afraid to speak of the Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I referenced and maybe turned to this verse, what was it, Wednesday or maybe last Sunday. And the verse is specifically referring to the millennial kingdom. It says, "And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord." And it's talking about the millennial kingdom. I mean, there's going to be a lot of excitement surrounding the kingdom.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
just think to be able to live on the earth with just one leader, one dictator, King Jesus.
Amen.
That is going to be a wonderful time. That's going to be a time for singing. That's going to be a time for dancing. That's going to be a time for praising. You know how the book of Ecclesiastes says that there's a time for a lot of these things. Well, in the millennial kingdom, that's going to be our time to dance. Amen. Dance, not a fleshly dance, but kind of just jumping up and down, saying hallelujah to the Lord. That's going to be a wonderful day. And that's the day that is most immediately in view here in these verses. But I think, as we'll see here in just a moment, it's not just in the millennial kingdom that these types of things that are spoke of in these verses are to take place. The verses say again, praise the Lord. They're going to praise the Lord in that day. They're going to call upon His name. And they're going to declare, the people that are alive and living during that time, they're going to declare His doings, the Lord's doings,
right,
among the people.
Yes, sir.
They're going to talk about the Lord. It says they're going to make mention that His name is exalted. They're going to talk about Him in such a way that His name is just exalted, that He's lifted up, that people adore Him. He's being talked about in such a positive manner. And so then it says in the following verse, the verse that follows, "Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things." And then it says, "This is known in all the earth." This is known in all the earth. You know, the Lord, He hath done excellent things.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and don't we know that? We might think that all the earth is not aware of it, but I think most people are.
Yeah.
I think most people know that God spoke the world into existence.
Amen.
I think that most people know that God causes it to rain upon the earth, that God causes the sun to shine upon the crop. I think most people have heard of at least the redemption that's offered to mankind through the person of Jesus Christ. I think people know this in the earth. But a lot of people, knowing it, choose not to praise the Lord because of it.
Right.
They choose not to talk about it. Well, you know, in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings." Declare, talk about what it is that He's done. That's a command. And something I believe the psalmist was in the habit of practicing. Psalm 71 and verse 17 says, "O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works." This is an old man that's saying this, by the way. We'll see that in the next verse. But he says that God has taught him from his youth, and that he has declared throughout his life the wondrous works of God.
Amen.
And yet he says now, as an old and gray-headed man, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to everyone that is to come." He wants to continue to magnify the Lord with his life and with his lips in his old age. The subject that I'm going to talk about this evening is not just for the youth,
right,
and it's not just for the adults. It's for both. Because I believe it is a good thing for both young people and for adults to praise the Lord, to speak about spiritual things. Psalm 96:3 says, "Declare His glory among the heathen." So often you see it's declare His wonderful works and such among the people, and some people can make the argument that the people is referring to the people of God or the people of Israel, because that's the way that phrase is used many times. But that's not what it says here. It says, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people," not just the people of God.
Amen.
You know, because I know a lot of people who praise the Lord in the confines of the church building, but you know, when they walk outside of the church building, they really don't have much to say about the Lord.
That's right.
And that's a shame. You know, in Psalm 107, it says this, and it says it four times,
yeah,
by the way, and it's a passionate plea, if you will, for men to declare God's goodness. It says, "Oh, that men..." Do you see the passion in this sentence? "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And again, this is the Holy Ghost. He is the author of the Scriptures, right? And so it's not just the psalmist, it's the Spirit of God saying, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord."
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I believe the Holy Ghost wants to come inside of us and empower us and give us boldness to witness and testify for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But so many times we let our flesh get in the way, and when God would use us to magnify Him, we instead close our mouths.
You're right.
Close our tongues. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world."
That's right.
And He wasn't, you know, when Ronald Reagan talked about a city upon a hill, he was talking about America. God bless Ronald Reagan. I hope he was saved. I'd love to talk to him when I get to heaven. But he says, God, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Believers.
Right.
A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid.
Amen.
When you put a city up on the top of a high, high hill, you can't hide it. When people look up, they're bound to see it. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." No, you're lighting the candle. Why? To put it on a candlestick so that you can raise it high and give light to all that are in the house, the verse says.
Right.
And Jesus makes an application of this, and He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, our faith in Christ, those of us that are saved, it's not supposed to be kept a secret.
Amen. That's right.
It's meant to be shared. Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 18, didn't He? And He said we're to go into all the world. Mark's Gospel says, "And preach the Gospel to every creature."
Sir.
That's our duty. Our commission. as a believer. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." That's what Jesus said to his disciples, to his followers. He told them, "You tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power, until you are given the promise of the Father, the Comforter." But one that once that promise is given and the Comforter comes and he indwells you, he says, "I want you to go out and I want you to be a witness for me. I want you to testify of my goodness, my greatness, and the salvation that I so freely offer those that will accept it." Can we all agree that we as believers should talk about spiritual things? Things such as the gospel, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. I mean, that's not a subject that a lot of people out in the world are desirous to discuss. But I think those of us that are God's children, those of us that are saved, I think we would agree that the gospel is something that should be talked about. I think we should talk about God's goodness in the creation. I think we should talk about God's goodness to us as a believer and how He saved us and how He leads and guides and directs in our lives. I don't think that what God does in our life is meant to be kept a secret. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. That's what God wants us to do. I believe it's proper for us to talk about God's provision in our lives. I believe it's important for us to talk about what God wants in our lives, what He wants to do in our lives. You know, for you young people, I think it's important that you talk to other young people about what the Bible has to say in regards to purity, in regards to doing God's will, in regards to how to win sinners. I think it's good for young people to carry on conversations with one another about spiritual things. Now, I know that everybody likes to talk, at least men like to talk about guns and trucks, and some men like to talk about sports even. You know, and men don't have a problem discussing these subjects. Everybody universally likes to discuss the weather. When you don't know what else to talk about, you talk about the weather. Ladies all like to talk about their children. They like to show you pictures of them. I'm not sure why. They like to talk about their gardens. If they don't have children, by the way, they love to talk about their pets. And sometimes if you're just getting part of the conversation, you'd swear they were talking about their children. But they're not. Some people treat their pets better than their children. But do you ever talk about, what do you think the unicorn is? They talked about that at camp, so we talked about it one night this week. Because people, you know, the Bible has the word unicorn. People ever talk about spiritual things? Like, what do you think the unicorn is? How about this? Do you ever talk about the preacher's sermon?
Come on.
Heaven forbid.
Come on, preacher.
They say, well, we already heard it once. The last thing we want to do is talk about it all over again. If I had a pastor, you know what I'd do? Every evening I went home, I'd talk about his message. See if my children learned anything from it.
Yeah.
See if my wife learned anything from it. See if I learned anything from it. Once you talk about it a second time, it sure helps it to stick in your mind, doesn't
it?
You ever talk about how God's sovereignty and man's responsibility can coexist? I've talked about that.
Amen.
I don't expect you young people to have talked about that, but one day if you're a theologian, you might. You ever talk about what in the world Acts 2:38 means?
Yeah, come on.
Because a lot of Pentecostals, you know, and such, I believe that it declares you have to be baptized to be saved. You ever talk about those things? Read a verse and don't understand and, you know, say to your best friend, say to your mom, say to your dad, hey, what's this mean? Do you ever talk about spiritual things? That's really what I'm trying to do here this evening with this message, is to encourage us to talk about spiritual things. To talk about the goodness of God, to talk about the Lord, not just the gospel, but yes, the gospel and everything that has to do with the Bible. and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to talk about spiritual things because we're living in a society that thinks that it's not proper, it's not appropriate to talk about spiritual things, and that's because it isn't normal to do in our society. You know, the reason people, and I'm talking to young and adults alike, but the reason that people don't talk about spiritual things many times is because of fear. Fear. They have a fear of what others will think of them. I mean, they might be thought of as weird or odd. You talk about spiritual things, and I'm sure you will be thought of as odd and weird. Some people think that spiritual things are just not supposed to be talked about today. It's just not normal. It's viewed as private. That's what some people say. Religion, that's a private matter. Not to be discussed publicly. That's just a code word for saying, you know what, I'm not comfortable talking about those things. Because I've never considered them. That's what a lot of people really are saying when they say that's a private matter. It means I don't want to talk about that. It makes me uncomfortable. And you know why it makes people uncomfortable to talk about spiritual things? Is because they're not in the habit of doing it.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Christian young people, when they're together and they're fellowshipping with other young people or even adults, do they talk about spiritual things? Most of the time they don't. It's not viewed as normal because it's not something that takes place in their homes. And parents, we need to recognize that our children are with us
right.
a lot more than they are with the other people of the church. And so if our young people are going to develop a habit of talking about spiritual things, of talking about the gospel, of talking about the things of the Bible, it's going to have to begin at home.
Right.
Because if we bring our children to church and talk about the Lord there, but He's never mentioned outside of the church, it won't be normal for them to talk about spiritual things. They'll begin to think the only time you talk about God is when you're in church. Fear. Fear keeps people from talking about spiritual things. People aren't comfortable talking about spiritual things. Well, I've heard this phrase before and I can't remember what context, but we kind of need to move out of our comfort zone if we're not comfortable talking about spiritual things. Do you think that the first time I got behind the pulpit, it was a comfortable experience for me? Oh, not at all. Sometimes I still dread it. My wife, I told her the Lord's calling me to preach, and she says, you know, you got to talk to do that, because it's not something that I was accustomed to doing, talking a lot. And so the Lord probably deserves all the honor and glory. But you know what, it is a little bit easier to get up behind the pulpit and preach today than it was 10-12 years ago. But if I had never taken that step, however many years ago it was, it wouldn't be easy for me today.
Right.
And I would encourage everybody who's maybe a little bit uncomfortable in talking about spiritual things and talking about the gospel and talking about the Lord, you know what? You need to take that first step and begin to do it anyway.
Amen.
The Bible says, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
Amen.
When you're afraid to talk about spiritual things, lean upon the Lord. You know what happens when you're filled with the Spirit of God? You have a boldness that
right.
you have never had before.
Right.
The early disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they prayed for boldness. And right after they prayed for boldness and the earthquake came, you know what we find the disciples doing? Preaching the Word of God with great boldness. And people looked at them and just shook their heads and say, how in the world can these people speak so well? Being just unlearned and ignorant fishermen. It's because they had been with Jesus. They were filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And we need to learn to allow the Spirit of God to control us so that we won't be so afraid.
Amen.
I know it's easy for me to say, isn't it? But it's hard to get out there and talk to people about things that you've never talked to people about. But we need to start.
Amen.
People are afraid. People are afraid they're going to be called a goody two-shoes. And inevitably some will think that you're a goody two-shoes because you're talking about spiritual things. But as long as you know you're not talking about spiritual things to puff up yourself, ignore what they say. You know you're just trying to help. Some people fear that they might say the wrong thing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you will. When you start talking about the Lord to people, especially when you're starting to witness to people and communicate the gospel, you'll do it poorly sometimes. Just like Pastor Potter preaches poorly sometimes, most of the time. I've said some silly things sometimes in my preaching. I've made a fool out of myself sometimes, maybe, when I'm preaching. But that's all right, because really the preaching is not all about me. And you know what you need to remember when it comes to witnessing to other people? It's not all about you. And if you're scared to make a fool out of yourself, you know what? You need to quit thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about yourself. Think about that person and how they need the Lord. And start thinking about the Lord and how He's going to use you. No matter how you trip up over your words, He can use them. I remember having the perfect opportunity to talk with the pastor of one of the local churches here, and he believed you needed to be baptized to be saved. And here I knock on his door out on soul winning, have the perfect opportunity to talk to him about these things, and I messed it all up. And at first that kind of bothered me. I thought, you know what? That was my perfect opportunity to say this. And that would have maybe got him to thinking a little bit. But I said something that was would make it easy for him to discount me. And that frustrated me for a little while. It didn't frustrate me too long, because I've learned over the years that, you know what, God is able to take and to use whatever it is that you say if someone is tender towards Him. And so, you know, maybe this is more applicable to the young people. And you know what? You young people need to begin talking about the Lord right now. You might not be comfortable doing it, but that's what God would have you to do.
Amen.
And you just need to trust Him. If you're afraid of making yourself look like a fool, forget about it. God chose the foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
Preachers make fools out of themselves every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. Because God is glorified and magnified through it.
Amen.
And you young people, what you'll find is it's going to be a lot easier for you as you grow in years to talk about the Lord if you begin doing it right now when you're young.
Yes, sir.
My children, for a long time, have went out. Matter of fact, they enjoy probably going out soul winning more than I do. And I'm sure that that's creating a habit in them so that they'll just continue doing
right.
it
yes.
when they're an adult.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you three real-life examples that kind of might help you with what we're talking about here. These are all real-life examples from people in our church. How about that? But I'll hide the names to protect not so innocent, because I don't want to embarrass them. But many years ago, I don't know, maybe it was when we were first here in Shepherdsville, it seemed like me and the kids spent a lot more time down at the creek than we do nowadays. And so we were down in the creek and we were playing, and one of the kids was, I don't know, 3-4 years old, I think, if I remember correctly, and I was trying to get them to come to me. You know, and they had to cross the stream that was all 2 inches deep, you know, to get to me, but they were scared to death to do it. They just knew, I guess, they were going to be washed downstream, out of Dad's reach. And I remember just being impressed by the thought, you know what, they just need to trust me. And I tried to explain to them, your dad gave you a command. And that command, this is when I was a lot more hard-headed than I am nowadays. Your dad gave you a command, and you need to listen to your dad. You need to trust your dad. Your dad wouldn't tell you to do something that would bring to you harm. It didn't convince them. And so I had to find a tree branch and give them a whooping. But I've never forgot that, because I think that what happened is very applicable to our own lives. The Lord, He tells us to do things like witness,
mm-hmm.
like praise Him, like talk about His wonderful works, and yet we're a little afraid to do that. Like maybe we won't be as effective as we should be. Maybe we won't say the right things. Maybe bad things are going to happen if we start to witness. No. God told you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens might not be pleasant, but you're probably not going to get your head chopped off. Brings me to another story. Took a couple of my kids up to McDonald's one day last week. And they were buying McDonald's with their own money. And so we went through the drive-thru, and we got what it is that they wanted, and McDonald's, believe it or not, forgot something. They forgot one of the French fries, one of the orders of French fries. And so I stopped, and I said, you need to go in and get your French fries. They didn't want to do it. They were more willing to do without the French fries, having already paid for them, than to deal with the embarrassment of having to go in and request them. And I still don't know that if that particular individual asked them, I think one of their siblings did for them. But they were afraid. Of what? Really, their fears were unfounded. And I tried to explain to them, they're going to want to be helpful. They're going to be sorry that they forgot your French fries and freely give them to you. Whether we had the receipt or not, by the way, which I think we were missing. But they were afraid. Afraid of what? Of not knowing what to say? Of being attacked by the cashier at McDonald's? It wasn't going to happen. And I know you young people especially, you hear some of the things that we say in passing about soul winning, people slamming doors on your face or yelling at you from time to time. But you know what? Really, those times are the minority.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not yes, people aren't greeting you with smiles and pleasantries, you know, most of the time, but they're not biting your head off either. And even if they do, so what? So what? I'm sure some people in this community think I'm a fruitcake. My own brother thinks I'm a fruitcake for going out and knocking on doors. He slams the door in people's face like me. But we try to explain him, if you believe what we believe,
yes, sir.
And if people were headed straight for hell, he'd go knock on doors.
Amen. You're right.
And that's what you need to keep your minds on. That people are dying.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
they're going
sir.
To hell.
Yep.
And if we don't take them the gospel message, they'll have no opportunity to be saved. And if that can't help you to overcome your fears, I don't know what will. Not only did I used to be quiet, I used to be shy. I didn't want to go into a new store without my wife by my side. It scared me. I didn't know where things were. Somebody might say something to me. I wouldn't know what to say. It scared me to death. That's when you know, and the Lord and other preachers exhorted me to go out, street preach, exhorted me to go out, knock on strangers' doors. I'm here from the church. Would you like a track? And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. Me? I can't even believe it to this day that I would stand on a fire hydrant
Amen.
And preach the Word of God in downtown Indianapolis.
Amen.
That's got to be the Lord. Got to be the Lord. And I have fears and anxieties even to this day
sure.
once I start going out. I tell the kids sometimes, sit in the vehicle, let me take a deep breath. Alright, let's go. You can't let those fears and anxieties stop you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
People need the gospel.
Yes.
So just trust in the Lord. Trust that He's going to take care of you. One of you recently wrote your grandparents. To witness to them.
Yes, amen.
Let me say that right there, first
amen.
Of all.
Amen.
That is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Amen.
To be tender to the Lord's leading in that way, to the Sunday school teacher's lesson, and want to give your loved ones a tract and share with them how Jesus can save them if they're not saved. And again, people don't always accept those things graciously. And if I understand the incident correctly, we don't always communicate the gospel
right.
as effectively as we should. Some of us still have problems with effectively communicating the gospel message in hopefully as non-offensive of a manner as we can. Some of us still have a problem with that. But I'd rather be witnessing and not communicating in the best of way than to just not be witnessing at all.
Right.
I mean, Jonah wasn't communicating in the most effective way when he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Good riddance to all of you. Hope you die." I added that last part, but that was his attitude.
That was his attitude, right.
And he went out and sat up there and said, "Who? Just wait for fire to fall from heaven." And they all got right with God. And so, you know, sometimes when I see people communicating the gospel in an abrasive manner, I'm like, oh, ow, ouch. I don't say anything to them. Most of the time, I don't say anything to them. So, sick them. Sick them. Probably have more people get right with the Lord than I have in my ministry. Who am I? John the Baptist, repent.
Yeah.
Just as plain as could be. Repent. And people came out to hear him from high and low.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, we should strive to work on the way in which we communicate the gospel. We want to do it in a loving manner that shows people we care about them. But even when we do that, sometimes they don't understand.
Right.
So I don't want that to discourage you young people. I want you to keep witnessing.
Amen.
I want you to keep handing out tracts.
Right.
And as you do so, the Lord will help. The Lord will mature you. And you'll begin to do it, no doubt, in a much more effective way than Pastor Potter or anybody else in this church, because you started a lot younger. Just don't be afraid. Don't buy in to what our culture is saying today, that Jesus belongs in the church and nowhere else. Jesus told us to go on the outside and preach the gospel, to be witnesses.
Amen.
The book of Psalms over and over again tells us to praise the Lord, to talk of His wonderful works. Let's not be afraid to do so.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking about the gospel. That is primary, yes, but amongst one another, talk about spiritual things.
Amen.
Talk about the Bible.
Amen.
Let's try to help the next generation.
Right. Amen.
Make it normal to speak of spiritual things. Because if we'll start and we'll, yes, have to bear the heat of the day, living in an age where people don't like to talk about spiritual things, don't like to talk about the gospel, but if we will keep talking about it and we'll keep talking about the Lord and we'll keep witnessing and we'll keep praising Him, maybe it will become more normal for the next generation, and they'll be able to talk about the Lord in a greater way and be more effective and help more people to be saved. Let's talk about spiritual things at church. Let's talk about spiritual things at home.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about spiritual things at work.
Right. Amen.
And let's talk about spiritual things at play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been young people that approached me this week frustrated that other young people don't want to talk about spiritual things. If you ask them a question, it's just one word, "Oh, haven't thought about that." They don't want to talk about it. And that's not people in this church. That's a shame. That's a shame. We want to change that if it does exist in this church. Parents, talk about spiritual things at home. Those of you that work, do your best to take opportunities to talk about spiritual things at work.
Amen.
So people don't think it so strange. And put aside your fears. Put aside your fears. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
If you make yourself look like an oddball, but you're glorifying God in the process, then so be it.
Amen.
So be it. I'd rather be an oddball. I know it's hard to be an oddball. It's become easy for me lately. And once you go through the heat of the day, once you go through those trials, pretty soon it won't affect you anymore what people think of you. The Lord will help you to get over it.
Right. Amen.
So again, my message this evening, let's speak about spiritual things. Let's make it commonplace in every area of our life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the exhortation that we see in many Psalms. Thank you for the application that can be made from our text, Isaiah chapter 12. And Lord, might we truly use our lips to praise thy name. God, may you help us to overcome our fears in talking about spiritual things. May we be bold with our witness. May we be gracious and kind. But at the same time, God, may we be bold, not afraid of what people are going to think of us, not afraid of the reaction that our witness will result in, but simply desiring to be obedient to you and to help those who are lost. And Lord, even help Christians who might be afraid to talk about spiritual things. Lord, help us to break that ice and to be the one to initiate the conversation about the Lord, so people would be more willing to freely talk about your wonderful
Amen.
Works
Amen.
For each and every one of us. So God, use this message tonight. Use it for thy glory. Use it for the benefit of thy people. And Lord, even use it to draw the lost unto thyself. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me.